Before I begin the message, I just want to share a word with you that I believe God has for you today. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We stand in God's grace. You know, we come to him with nothing to offer except ourselves, our hearts. And so he says, we just stand. We stand in his grace, in the hope of his glory in our lives. Remember that today as we hear God's word spoken to us. I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. I'm going to talk to you today. We're in a series called A Champion in You. And as those of you have been with us previously, I'll just repeat it because I don't want you to forget it. I want you to get it. God has placed a champion in every person here today. He's placed a champion in you that he wants released in your life. And that's what this series is about. Encourage you to seek God in a way that allow him to release that champion in you. And so today I want to talk about how a champion prepares. Former San Francisco 49ers coach Bill Walsh said this: in football and in business, preparation precedes performance. Preparation precedes performance. And so in that light, I submit to you today, in the race of life, champions prepare. In the race of life, champions prepare physically, mentally, and spiritually. And that's your first point today. Champions prepare physically, mentally, and spiritually. You know, for a champion of God, the preparation begins away from the spotlight, long before any recognition or even success becomes evident. And the book of Romans really gives us insight into how a champion prepares. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This passage here in Romans depicts sort of a metamorphosis of the thought process. You see, our mind must be retrained to God's way of thinking, God's way of doing things. If not, we'll be trained by the world's way of thinking, molded into the image of what we see in the world rather than the image of God, which is what he calls us to be molded into. The word conformed here in this passage means being squeezed into a mold, being squeezed into a mold. And what he's saying, in other words, don't live your life according to the standards of the cultures that are around you. Don't live your life according to the standards of the cultures that are around you, the cultures that we live in the world and that we see every day. Do you realize the impact of what that means? Not living your life according to the standards of the cultures that are around you? That's hard, isn't it? That has tremendous impact. But for believers, it's important. Philippians 4:8, if you'll just turn a little farther forward in your Bible. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 talks about the things of God. These are the things of God that God wants us to focus on. He wants our lives to be focused on. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, that means right. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. Positive, uplifting, encouraging, edifying. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, then meditate on it. Meditate on it. You see, when our minds are transformed, change takes place. When our minds are transformed, change takes place. And that's what he's talking about there. When our minds become transformed, we'll begin to look at these things. We'll begin to look at things this way. Twitch, go ahead and pop that next point up there. When our minds are transformed, change takes place. You know, when this happens, our definition of a champion and what we think of as a champion, our definition of success and achievement comes in line with God's word, causing us to focus on the things that are noted here in Philippians. You see, when a person's mind is being transformed by God's word, preparation is taking place. Preparation is taking place when our mind is being transformed by the word. Turn back to the Old Testament, to Joshua, toward the front of your Bible, just after Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Moses was a champion for God. He had led the Israelites out of Egypt through all kinds of circumstances. He had put up with a lot of stuff with them through a lot of things, a lot of struggles, a lot of strife, a lot of challenges. And he'd gotten them at the threshold of the promised land, but not without a cost. Joshua 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. I want to share with you today about four keys in a champion's preparation and training. And this is an example of what we see with Moses and Joshua. And the first thing is this. The first key in a preparation of a champion is champions prepare for changing seasons. Champions prepare for changing seasons. As seasons in life change, champions are willing to change with them, to adjust, and to continue on toward the goal. You see, when Moses died, the wilderness season came to an end, and the season of possessing began. Three things stand out in this passage. The season of Moses, of Moses' leading the people, was over. He had died. The plan had changed. There was going to be a new leader. And if they did things God's way, things would be fine. And that's what God spoke to Joshua. You see, the goal hadn't changed. The goal was still the promised land, to move all those people into the promised land and possess it. Things had changed. The plans had been adjusted. But the goal that God called them to was the same. God's champions prepare for change. They adapt to it. And they keep following the Lord's instructions, trusting Him. Trusting Him for the outcome. God's champions prepare for that. You know, several years ago, there was a book written primarily for business people. It was called Who Moved the Cheese? And it was written about two mice and two people's lives. And these mice were in the maze. And you know, people are in mazes too often, aren't we? And they got to the point where they should have arrived at the cheese, but somebody had moved it. And so, who moved the cheese? But the point of the story is that we have to be prepared We have to be prepared to keep moving forward when things change or one thing ends and another one begins. Champions prepare for changing seasons. They keep their eyes on Jesus, keeping God's principles as their compass for direction. The second thing champions do in preparation is they prepare by having a mentor. A mentor. Champions prepare by having a mentor. You know, to become a champion for God, you need a mentor. Someone who is already moving with God, or they're already where you want to be spiritually. Someone who's walking with God. Somebody that'll be honest with you and give you godly counsel. Not tell you what you want to hear to make you feel good. That's not what a mentor is for. Here's what a mentor will do. A mentor will deflate your emotions. A mentor will deflate emotions and inflate spiritual principles. See, we operate off emotions and we get off track. But if we operate on spiritual principles, we stay on track. A mentor will deflate emotions and inflate spiritual principles so that the Holy Spirit can manifest God's wisdom in your life. Joshua had spent a lot of time being mentored by Moses. 40 years. He was by his side when he received the Ten Commandments from God. And Moses passed on the things of God to Joshua so that he would know and understand God's wisdom. That's what a mentor does. So that he can know God's wisdom and God's ways. Moses had led the people out of Egypt through all kinds of circumstances. He dealt with countless complaints from the Israelites. Opposition from his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam. He endured an entire generation of people dying off or being killed because they were grumbling against God. But when Joshua's time came to lead, he was prepared because he had been mentored by a champion, Moses. If you want to listen to me, if you want to be a man or woman of God, a champion for Him, get into a relationship of accountability and responsibility with a Christian who's living his or her life by the book. Not lip service, but by the book. A mentor who will pour themselves into your life. A champion prepares by having a mentor. Look around, observe, pray. God will show you who to approach, or God will bring that person to you. Pray. The third thing I want you to see how a champion prepares is a champion is ready. Champions are ready when it's time. Champions are ready when it's their time. You see, champions understand the concept of preparation. Joshua here spent years under Moses' training and developing. And when his time came to lead the Israelites, he was ready. He was prepared to cross the Jordan and press on toward the goal of occupying the land. You see, when Moses died, God told Joshua, "His time's over, now it's your time." And when the doors of opportunity open, champions are prepared to step in, to get off the bench, to get into the game. You see, people can complain all day long when they're on the bench, but when their number's called and they're handed the ball, they better be ready to run with it. Everybody wants to stand on top of the mountain of success, but not many people want to spend the time in the valley of preparing to get there. That's our human nature. It's not right, and it doesn't have to be that way. Too many Christians don't realize the value of sweating, agonizing, waiting, praying, listening, and allowing iron to sharpen iron in their lives. Many people want to become champions for God via the shortest and fastest route. Let me give you an example. Someone comes out of a really world of darkness, of really bad things. They get saved. God pulls them out of this dark world they were operating in. And so they're excited about their faith. They know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their life is being changed. And they get excited about it. And they want to run back to that dark world where they came from and start witnessing. And it gobbles them up. Pulls them back in the pit because they haven't prepared. They haven't spent time in God's Word. They haven't spent time with a mentor. They haven't spent time studying the Bible, praying, connecting with church believers, other believers, strengthening their spirit and allowing God to fill them with His Spirit so they can walk in the power of the Spirit when they go back into those places. You see, preparation is important for a champion of God. And when we run off, can you imagine? Football team, basketball team, any type of athletic team. They get together at the beginning of the year, let's say school or high school or college. And the coach says, okay, it's August 1st. On August the 25th, we got our first ball game. So I want everybody, you're going to play here, here. Here's your positions, here's your uniforms. I'll see you on the 25th and we'll play. How'd that go? Not very good. You know what? We do the same thing as Christians. We try to walk out and walk into the enemy's territory unprepared. And we wonder why we get blown out of the water and fall. Champions are ready when it's their time. Still others, here's another thing about us Christians. Others spend time preparing, being mentored, learning the Word. But when their time comes, they allow distractions to overcome the preparation. And when their number's called, they don't step up. When their time comes, they don't step up. You see, even though a champion prepares for his or her time, when it comes, there's still a cost to being a champion. There's sacrifices that are necessary in being a champion. And once, when someone becomes a champion, listen, your life is still not your own. It's still bought with a price. Amen. And it's got to be lived out that way. A true champion for God is ready when their time comes, and they respond when God calls their number. And the last thing on preparation, a champion's preparation is champions are disciplined. Champions are disciplined. I hope you're still at Joshua chapter 1. Slide on down to verse 7. God's still speaking to Joshua. He's commissioning him now. Moses is dead. It's your time, Joshua. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. The key point here is keeping your attention on what God has said. Keeping your attention on what God has said and staying focused on it. Not what society says. Not what your friends say, not what political correctness says, but what God has said. We tend to let things get us off course. Discouragement, negativity, opposition, yes, even correction. When God corrects us, we tend to get off course at times if we don't receive it. The Word says don't turn to the right or to the left. And see, often turning here suggests that we're taking a detour, a shortcut. Or maybe we say, yeah, I know God, but I got my own ideas here. I'm going to try my ideas. Listen, don't yield to that temptation. Don't yield to that temptation. Be steady. Live a life of discipline. You see, we're all called to be disciples. If we're a believer, we're called to be a disciple, a truly devoted, prepared follower of Christ. Disciple, the word disciple comes from the word discipline. Do you think that's an accident? I don't think so either. You see, many want to be disciples, but they don't want to be disciplined people. They want God on Sunday and the world on Monday. You see, it takes discipline to be a champion for God. You can't let discouragement run you to the right or to the left. You can't let others with good ideas alter your steps from the discipline of God's word, his purpose, and his direction. And that's our next point. God's word, God's will, and God's way must be your priority. God's word, God's will, and God's way must be our priority. You see, in the times we're living in, where right is called wrong, wrong is portrayed as right, and there's no absolute according to secular humanism, his word, his will, and his way are the only way to stay the course. You see, a mentor once told me years ago, be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life. I've found that to be so true and so valuable over the years. You see, it takes discipline to do that. Because in today's world, even in the church, there's so many people trying to speak into our lives. And without discipline, listen, without discipline that comes from the absolutes of God's word, we can be led to the right or the left. Champions are willing to let God lead them and are not turned from him. Champions are willing to let God lead them and not be turned from him by others, even well-meaning others. You see, you can't remain in the will of God and seek success by any other means than his. You can't stay in the will of God seeking success by any other means but God's means. You know, there's an example in the Bible where Abram and Sarah, that was before God had changed their name from Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. He'd promised them a son, and he was going to multiply with them. And a couple of years went by, and they became impatient. Sarai became impatient, and she went to Abraham and she said, "Look, this is not going to happen. I'm old like you. This is not going to happen, but take my maidservant, and we can have a son through her." And so they did that. And it created disaster from that time on. Still today, we're seeing in the Middle East the disaster of that. You see, a champion knows when to say no. A champion isn't so emotionally needy that they can't stay the course when others want them to turn to the right or the left. You see, fear of rejection causes people not to say no when they really know it's the right answer. You see, listen to this. When you agree to something you shouldn't agree to, what you're really doing is you're disagreeing with God. Lack of discipline leads to compromise. Remember that. A lack of discipline leads to compromise. When you compromise, listen. When you compromise, you're asking God to bless what he has not ordained, and he will not do that, period. He won't do it. We can't pick and choose which part of God's word we want to obey. You know what that's called? Disobedience. We can't pick, "Oh, I like this page." "Oh, man, I don't like that. Okay, let me move on. No. Let me find something here that feels good and fits good." We can't pick and choose. We can't pick and choose. Listen, either God knows what's best for all of our life or none of it. He either knows what's best for all of our life or he doesn't know what's best for any of it. There's no in between. And the truth is, God knows what's best for all of our life. A champion's success is tied directly to the obedience, to obedience to God. A champion's success is tied directly to obedience to God in all areas of his or her life. God's ways must become a habit of life. That's what we need to do with this book. The things in this book need to become a habit of our life. A natural flow of God's Spirit in the champion's life. Turn a little forward to 1 Kings from Joshua there. Just turn a little farther forward to 1 Kings. It's right after 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 2, verse 2. 1, 2, 2. First Kings chapter 2, verse 2. David was speaking to Solomon, and he was coming close to dying, and he charged Solomon, saying this, "I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." The word prosper there means to be fruitful, to be beneficial. That's not a selfish prospering there. The word observe here, in the NIV, it says observe what the Lord your God requires. Observe is an outflow of the idea of study. That's what that means there. In order for us to do what God asks us to do, we first have to know what God has said, don't we? That can only come from time in his word. Being prepared to move from one season to another. Sitting under a mentor. Being ready when the opportunity arises. And learning self-discipline. That's how champions of God prepare. So they successfully handle whatever life throws at them. And life throws a lot at us. Alan Armstrong said this. Champions don't become champions when they win the event. But in the hours, the weeks, the months, and the years they spend preparing for it. The victorious performance itself is merely the demonstration of their championship character and preparation. Someone else said, and you've probably heard this, character is not made in crisis, it's revealed. Character is not made in a crisis, it's revealed. By a crisis. And so I submit to you today by the word of God. Champions are not made in a crisis. Champions are revealed in crisis. God has placed a champion in every person here. The question is this. Are you preparing? Are you preparing so God can release the champion in you for his purpose and his glory? See, being a part of God's family means preparing to be the champion that he called you to be. That's what being a part of God's family is about. Preparing to be a champion that he has called you to be. And there's a champion in every person here that he's wanting to release in your life. For his purpose. For his glory. Let's pray together. And as we pray together, I want you to understand this is God's focal time for you. This is the Holy Spirit's time to speak to you. Are you preparing to be a champion today? You know, preparation takes time. Whether we believe it or not, we're all in a battle. We're all in a battle. Because God is real. Heaven is real. The devil is real. And hell is real. And the battle rages between those two entities in the spirit world. and it rages in our lives between our spirit given by God and between our flesh and our body that's appealed to and attracted to by the enemy, by Satan. And that's why we have to be prepared. We have to prepare. Prepare to do battle. God wants to release the champion in you. But that starts, as I've said in the past, it starts by faith. Faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so if you don't know His Son, Jesus Christ, today, that's where it starts. He can't release the champion in you until you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And He takes up residence in your heart. So if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. You say, well, how do I do that, Pastor? You believe. You believe what God's Word says. The Word says that if you confess it with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, put your faith in Him, you will be saved. Not maybe, you will be. It's an act of your will, making a decision today. If you need to make that decision today, make it now. You see, we don't know how many days we have. We don't know how many days are left. And I don't say that to try to scare you or talk you into anything, because if I talk you into something, somebody else can talk you out of it. The Holy Spirit of God is tugging at people's heart right now. And if He's tugging at your heart, I want to encourage you to give your heart to Him. Pray a prayer like this. Lord God, I need a Savior. I believe Your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins. Forgive me for my sins. Take over my life. I give You my heart, and I ask You for a new start. If you pray that prayer and you mean it in your heart, and you pray it with your heart, Jesus comes into your life. And if you prayed that prayer with your heart, He just came into your life. You may not feel anything, may not be bells and whistles, but I'll tell you what, you'll begin to know things. You'll begin to know a change. You'll begin to recognize a change in your life. You'll be looking at things with different eyes. You'll be thinking with a different mind. You'll be speaking with a different tongue. Father, thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy. Thank You that You have placed a heart, a champion's heart, that's beating right now in every person here, no matter how young or how old. And Your desires for that champion in them to be released in their life, to live for You, to glorify You, to honor You, and to worship You. Father, I pray that if someone put their faith in You today, Father, I pray Your Holy Spirit that drew them to You would encourage them, would strengthen them in their faith. And don't believe the lie of the enemy when he comes and says, you didn't mean that. Speak the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that someone has spoken the name of Jesus today in their heart, that they've confessed with their mouth and believed in their heart that You raised Him from the dead, and they have stepped into new life in Christ. Father, help us as Christians, that those that are maybe believers for a while, just been playing church, playing religion, God, help them to open their hearts to You and let You begin to release that champion that's beating inside of them. Father, we thank You today. We thank You that You're our God, that You are God, and there is no other God but You, Jehovah. God who is and was and is to come. thank you today. In Jesus' strong and powerful name.